Why? Why do we get upset when people don't agree with us?
Because we think we're so right that everybody should see that we're right.
Okay, everyone should just see. I don't get it. I'm right. What is your problem?
Stubbornness.
What's another word?
Pride.
Well, what would happen if, God forbid, we're wrong?
It's never happened to me.
I'm so kidding.
That's so great. I love it.
I'm so kidding. Really. I promise.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about when somebody's right, when somebody's wrong, from a different aspect. Okay? I'm going to start reading. Accept the one whose faith is weak. What is in bold? Let's read it together. Without quarreling over disputable matters. Can we say that again? Without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. He's using examples of a fight they were getting over. In the New Testament, some people believed by the Old Testament law, there were some foods you could not eat. In the New Testament, God set us free from that. He came to Peter. Peter was supposed to go to an unclean person's house, and he had a revelation, and God showed him a sheep with all of these different animals on it. And he said, these are clean. Eat. And Peter said, he always had a habit of saying, uh-uh. Right? Jesus said, I must die. Uh-uh. You know? So God says, eat them. Uh-uh. That's not what you said before. He says, now I say, eat them. They're clean. Nothing that I have touched and said is good is not clean. If he says it is right, it is right. Okay? So that's why they were having an issue. There were some people in the church who had a problem. They would abstain from eating meat that was offered up to idols, sacrifices. They were like, I'm not going to touch that was offered up to some other god. Whereas Paul was saying, it's food. It doesn't matter that who it was offered up to. It's just a piece of meat. But, he said, if a person who has seen that meat sacrificed to an idol believes that it is sin for him to eat it, then it's sin for him to eat it. Don't tell him to eat it. Just because it's not sin for you doesn't mean it's not sin for him. So that was the issue. They were having an argument over what was clean food, and they were judging other members of the church for their beliefs. Okay? So this is nothing new. This has always been around. So another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. Who has accepted them?
God.
All right, scroll down. Who are you to judge someone else's servant?
Who are you to tell somebody what is or is not sin in their life? Are you God? Do you know what God has spoken to them? Have you ever been under condemnation from somebody else who hasn't known what God has told you?
Go down. To their own master, servants stand or fall. You are not their master. They do not have to report to you. Conversely, no one is your master. Well, except for you, no. You do not have to answer to anyone else on this earth if you are doing what God has told you to do. Okay? All right, scroll down. One person considers one day more sacred than another. He's going through examples of this now. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Now, do you know people who do stuff just because somebody else said so and you're trying it out? You know, they're really not sure about it, but it's like they hear something and they're swayed by every wind. You know, today they believe this, tomorrow they believe that. They're just trying things out. He says, that one person, it's okay for them to consider one day more sacred than another. And some people don't. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in holidays, birthdays, or any of that kind of stuff. And they're judged for it. Guess what? He says it's okay to not observe holidays and things like that. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. If you know for sure that God told it to you, then hold on to that. Believe it. You are to trust in it. If God spoke it to you, have faith and hold to it, and do not be swayed by the person who doesn't believe like you. You're always, in every area of your life, going at someone else who believes contrary to you and believes you're wrong. Just get used to it. Right? Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. If they're doing it because they believe they're honoring the Lord, then what's so bad about it? People who believe you should wear a suit and tie or never wear pants, or women only wear dresses, what's so wrong about that? Why should we judge someone who believes that? Well, we believe it's okay to wear shorts in here. They would judge us. But we do as God speaks to us. You know why there's a church on every corner and all these different denominations? Because guess what? People congregate according to what God has convicted them or what they have learned is true. People only come here if they believe the way we worship is how you worship, or the word that we preach is God's word. If not, then go on down the road to the next one and taste the next church. Right? Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. So if you have a meal, and even if it's been sacrificed to idols, if you ask the Lord to bless that food, and you're accepting that this food is from the Lord, there's nothing wrong with it. As long as you believe this food is from the Lord, and Jesus said it's clean. Scroll down, thank you. Down, you went up. Keep going. Alright, there. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. And the person who says, I'm not touching meat that's been sacrificed to an idol, he's doing it, why? To honor God. To please God. So if the person is doing it to please God, leave him alone. You're not going to convince him otherwise anyways. Only God is going to convince them. Has anyone ever spoken truth into your life and you were unable to receive it at that time, but later on you conceded they were right? They couldn't change your mind either. Remember, Christianity is a relationship. If he wants you to know it, he'll speak it to you. Scroll down. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. It's a horrible thing to be a human. The world revolves around us. I am the star of my own movie and all of your extras. And the same thing goes for you guys. You are the star of your own movie, and we are all extras in your life. And we forget that we don't live our lives to ourselves. Absolutely everything we do, has a ripple effect on the lives of everyone around us, a ripple effect on the kingdom of God, a ripple effect on whether or not we will get closer to our destiny and what God has called us to, or further away. We do not live to ourselves. We think, well, I'm not hurting anybody else. Guess what? Everything you do may hurt someone else. If we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. The whole purpose of a Christian's life is that we say, God, what do you want? And then we do it, knowing that his word to me, instructions to me, may be completely different than the instructions of the person that I'm even married to and walking down a road with. Right? Thank you. Let's see. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Listening to God and obeying.
living our lives for the Lord is the entire reason why Christ died on the cross. As Ronnie always says, everyone wants a Savior. Nobody wants a Lord. Because a Lord means we do not have a say over our own lives. We are servants to a master. But that is why he died, that we might belong to him, that we might be like him. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister, or why do you treat them with contempt? Now be honest, even the most Christ-like and loving of us can get really bent out of shape, can't we? Right? Someone doesn't believe, they're telling someone you love what you believe is an untruth about the Bible. Right? Maybe bad doctrine, something like that. You should see in my Christian Women with Depression group, I finally had to put up rules on the Facebook group. And it said, no one is allowed to tell another person they are not a Christian because they don't believe like you do. If they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that his death paid for our sins, and that you have to accept that payment for your sins to be a Christian, then you're a Christian. I don't care what the rest of your doctrines are. In this group, you're a Christian, and you do not tell someone else. Now, I'm going to bring up a touchy subject. We had a lesbian who came into the group, a Christian lesbian. Now, she ended up, of course, leaving the group. She didn't tell anybody. She told, like, one person, and one person told me, because I'm the owner of the group. She ended up leaving the group because she couldn't be honest about her struggle, about what she was going through. And people would condemn her for it. Now, homosexuality is nothing other than another hang-up, another habit, another sin, another hurt. It's no different than any of ours. I truly believe people are born, some people are born with a bent. They feel like they're a boy in a girl's body, or vice versa. They're not taught that. It's just in them. But you know what? All of us have things in us that bend us towards a particular sin. Whether it's homosexuality, whether it's gossip, lying, making things up. You know, sometimes even as a child, you'll have a child that's a liar from the beginning. Someone who's prone to violence, manipulation. All these different things in our lives, they come with the flesh. And so, we have to remember that if she had come into the group and had shared it, unfortunately, we would have had this problem. Treating her with contempt because her sin is not their sin. People only condemn other people's sins when it's a sin other than one they've dealt with. I, way back when, was anti-divorce when I was married. I'm never going to be divorced. I'm going to be a widow before I'm going to be divorced because I'll kill it, you know, whatever it is. And then Sammy Patty, way back when, got divorced. Amy Grant got divorced. These were Christian superstars. And I was so condemning. I was in a horrible, abusive marriage. And I was really just jealous. But I was condemning. I was very high and mighty, self-righteous about it. Well, I got divorced. I ain't so high and mighty about it anymore. I know. I've been there. I know the struggle. I know the horrible, horrible, loathing feelings. Fear of inadequacy, that God would be unhappy with me. So why do we treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. As it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, he'll go down, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, keep going, down. Each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Every idle, vain, useless word we have said. Every time we have taken down another brother or sister in private or in public, we will be held accountable for it. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Now, in other, all throughout the Bible, especially John the disciple, talks about how we're to love one another. We're to be in peace with one another. We are to have the same mind as one another. We are to be one body. We are to be together with Christ as the head. Who does the thinking? The head. Right? The mind. We are the body. We're not the head. I can't tell Melissa the foot. You can't dance. And she can't tell me the hand. You know, you can't praise.
We cannot, by our words or our actions, through our judgment, make a stumbling block to someone else. You may have a very young Christian or a very old Christian who's a very touchy Christian, and you say just the wrong thing, and they're just waiting to be derailed on their path, their Christian path. They're kind of fed up with God personally, privately. They haven't told anybody. So all you got to do is say one thing that's going to tick them off and push them out. Not really your fault, but the point is you still need to be careful that you are not a stumbling block to someone else. Be honest. Other people have done things that made you go, I'm not going back to that church. Or, I'm not going to hang around with them if that's what a Christian is like. Condemnation. What's the difference between pointing out sin and condemnation? God convicts of sin. God will convict you and talk to you about the sin in your life, the specific things. He will never say anything bad about you personally. The enemy will condemn you. He will start with what you did wrong and then tell you what a loser you are and how God can't ever possibly do anything with you. And he will beat on you and bash on you. That's the difference between conviction and condemnation. We have to make sure, if we're ever going to speak into anyone's life, number one, did God tell you to speak into their life? If not, close your mouth. Just because you think it doesn't mean you should say it. Some people are stream of conscious talkers. They think it, they are immediately saying it. You need to ask God before you speak, especially when you speak something into someone else's life that goes against what they're doing or what they're thinking. You ask God whether or not he told you to do that, because you are walking on really thin ice at that point. God has to prepare someone else's heart by the power of the Holy Spirit to receive his word and be convicted by his Holy Spirit. God did not choose you to convict them. It says the Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin. So you got to be careful what you say to others. Where'd we go? I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in himself. Paul's talking about to himself. He says, me, I don't think there's anything unclean. I can eat dirt. No, I can eat meat with blood in it. Or, no, not meat with blood in it. Meat that's been offered to idols, whatever it is. I don't have a problem with it. Okay, but if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. 15, if your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Now, this is where it goes a little deeper. Now, first what we've been saying is don't judge someone else because they don't agree with you. And everybody's like, no problem, I'll keep my mouth shut, got no problem. Now he's taking it one step further. Now he's saying, if what you do causes them to start falling away from the Lord or be shaky in their walk, you are not to do it in front of them. Do you hear me? You may not be convicted that drinking is a sin. And guess what? Nowhere in the Bible does it say drinking is a sin. It says getting drunk is a sin. But there's nothing in the Bible that says having a glass of wine or a beer or whatever it is. It doesn't say it in there. It says do not be drunk on wine. Be drunk on the Spirit. However, there are some people who believe that drinking is a sin. And it will really mess them up to see a Christian drinking. And guess what God calls us to do? Not drink in front of anybody that it would offend. Well, I like my drink. I like my piña colada. I like my glass of wine with dinner when I go out. Well, that's fine. The other place, Paul says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by any. At that point, when you're with a person who believes that drinking is sin, and you have the choice to either have a drink or not have a drink, you're going to make a choice right then what's more important to you, your drink or that person. No other way around. Same thing goes with smoking. Same thing goes with everything. If I go into a church where they don't believe that women should wear pants, I should not wear pants in that church. That is not loving to me. That is not loving to God. What's the definition of no love? Giving of yourself for the benefit of another. We are called to love God and love others. That means sacrificing something that we don't want to give up. You got it? And God's going to convict each of you in a different way of different things. You won't be able to say, I didn't know. Do not, by your eating or drinking or smoking or whatever it is, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Now think about this. You know what he's saying? For the sake of food, or drink, or a cigarette, or wearing pants, you're going to damage the faith of somebody else. Doesn't that sound petty when you put it that way? Doesn't it? But that's what we are. We're petty. We want what we want when we want it, and nobody else is going to get in the way. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. Scroll down. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not about what you eat. It's not rules and regulations about what you eat, what you drink. We talked about that during class this morning. Christianity is not rules and regulations of do's and don'ts. It's listening and obeying. If you're sitting in Longhorn and you're with somebody that does not drink and will be offended if a Christian drinks, and the waiter comes around and says, can I get you something? Listen, ask God. Ask God. That's what he's there for. There is no rule or regulation. Ask him. And know that he knows exactly whether or not you are listening and obeying or just doing your own thing. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness. Righteousness. Right standing with God. How do you get into right standing with God? By placing your faith in him. Peace. The result of putting your faith in God. Joy. The result of putting your faith in God. How can you put your faith in him if you don't hear him? You have to ask, you listen, you obey. That's how you become righteous, and that's how you get peace and joy. Which, by the way, let me stop here. Kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Now, from a person who is a food addict, who has had an eating disorder all her life, this means to me that I have been using this, eating and drinking, to get this, peace and joy. He says, no, righteousness, trusting me, will bring peace and joy. That's just a side note. All right, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. All right, keep going. Let us therefore make every effort, here we go, make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. As a Christian, your first
priority and your first, what is the word? When you owe to put somebody first.
Priority.
Anyways. Your first priority is to do, yeah, but I'll think of that word later. The first order of business is always what God wants. What God wants is to love God and to love others and to keep the body together. That's why it says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification, building up other people. Every word. There's another scripture that says, do not let any unwholesome words come out of your mouth, but only that which is good for uplifting and encouraging other people. See, God's calling you to a higher standard. It's not just good enough not to judge anybody else. You've got to watch what you're doing in front of other people whose faith is not the same as yours so you don't cause them to stumble. And you have to do it cheerfully. Begrudgingly, he knows. On the outside, you might be sitting down, but on the inside, you're standing up. Did I tell you guys about that? The little boy who got punished. So he sent him to sit in the corner. And he goes, fine, on the outside, I'm sitting down, but on the inside, I'm standing up. Well, we might not say anything, but we might be standing up on the inside. But God says, even though we have the right to eat and drink whatever we want, other people's edification, building them up, is more important than what we eat and drink. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat something that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. Guess what? I'm going to say this. It also includes living together with somebody. I mean, there's no worse sin than anything else. But you want to talk about something making somebody else fall? That'll do it. In a heartbeat. All right, scroll up a little. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. In other words, if you believe it, that's fine. And that's between you and God. It's not your job to go tell everybody else what they should believe. Right? Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. In other words, it's okay to drink or eat. Guess what? If you're approving doing something that's going to cause someone else to stumble, you better watch out. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And anything, David, anything that does not come from faith is sin. So what he's saying is, if you cause that person to be shaky in what their beliefs are, okay, God's going to hold you accountable for it. Don't try and undo something, either that a person has not yet learned is right or wrong from God, or that God has convicted them of. All right, now. This is what we're going to do. We're all done. That's the whole message. But now we're going to bring this back up, and we're going to play fill in the blank. And I want you to think about this in your own life. Think about how God is convicting you to fill in the blanks. Except the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to... Eat anything? All right. What else? One person allows them to drink. For some of us, drinking is sin. For some of us, smoking is sin because God has told us not to. Right? One person's faith allows them to blank, but another whose faith is weak doesn't allow them or allows them to do something else. The one who eats must not drink with contempt. The one who does not. Scroll down. And the one who doesn't eat, or whatever it is, must not judge the one who does. Scroll down. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? Keep going.
Be gone.
I'm gone.
Is it not? I thought I had some more blanks down in the bottom. Keep going.
Well, then we'll go. Let's see.
All right, scroll up. Scroll up. Mm-hmm. All right. If anyone regards something as unclean, scroll down. Then for that person, it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you do, I want you to think about someone else. What is it that you do that may be questionable for someone else? You are no longer acting in love if you continue to do that. Do not buy your, whatever it is, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Scroll down. Is that it?
No, that's the last blank.
Last blank, okay. So what I want to know, we're going to be finished way early. What I want to know is, has God spoken to you about either disputable matters, things that you get into arguments or quarrels with other people where you have to be right? Has he convicted you about something that someone else has been doing that you have been speaking against them but they are not convicted about it? Or something you're doing that someone else may be bothered with? All I want to know is, has God spoken to you in any of those areas? Raise your hand, yes or no. Yes? Okay. All right, does anybody have anything they want to share about what God shared or told you or spoke to you or anything, questions you have or comments about this message? Examples? Anybody?
I do.
Okay.